Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
During the was it during this week or last week? Sometime over the last couple of weeks, time has lost all meaning, my friends. I saw an ESRI poll that had been done, which found that 40% of young people had never had a conversation with their parents about sex. And I was kind of alarmed by this. It seemed like a really large proportion of young people to still not have had a conversation with their parents about sex. And I kind of started talking about it on my Instagram stories. And I did a poll where I asked people if they were planning on, if they were going to speak to their children about sex, you know, when they felt it was appropriate. And the majority of people said yes, that they were. And then I asked, do you have a plan for what you're going to do? And a significant portion of people did not have a plan. So I thought in How to Be an Adult today, we would do perhaps our most grown-up conversation ever, how to talk to your kids about sex. Sarah Spruill, occupational therapist and sex educator, is here now. She wants parents to feel empowered to have continuous open discussions in the home about sex and relationships. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Louise. It's so good to be here.
I'm so happy you're here because it really was clear, and I got so many messages from people when I discussed this on my Instagram. It is very clear that a lot of people really want to do this right, but just don't really know how.
Yeah, and it's not their fault that they don't know how, because this is one of those things when we're brought up that most of us have not had an experience of a parent or a caring adult having a comfortable,
yes,
ongoing conversation with us. It's like I have memories of it being incredibly awkward. So,
yeah,
you know, parents nowadays, it's not their fault.
Yeah, because we haven't really learned, you know, we haven't been on the other side of a successful encounter for the most part. So for you, if I've got this right, you think it's not really about having the talk or one talk. It's about having an open door all the time.
I sort of say to parents, okay, so when you were teaching or are teaching your child their table manners, do you have the table manners talk? And everyone looks at me like, what are you talking about? That is an ongoing, repetitive, energy-draining, soul-sucking task.
Yeah.
And so why would this part of growing up and learning the rules about our body be any different? Mm. And I think once we start realizing that a child's sexuality is, they need to learn about it just like they learn road safety, water safety, table manners. Then we start to see, oh, okay, it actually does make sense that this is an ongoing chat.
And why, and I have my thoughts on this, obviously, but why is it so important to confront these things and confront your own fear around them and have these conversations with your kids?
Yeah, there's a few reasons. First of all, we live in a broken world when it comes to sexuality. There's not a lot of ongoing positive messages that being a sexual human being is okay and normal. Oftentimes we get messages that it's something to hide away and be worried about. We don't live in a consensual culture, so we often, a lot of us don't learn how to speak up for what we need when it comes to our body. We might not know how to listen to other people's needs when they're different to ours. And then the third thing is most parents want to stay connected to their children. Mm. We want to be the people that they come to when times are tough and things are hard. Mm. And there is no more hard part of growing up than learning what sort of relationships you want, how am I going to ask someone out to the local dance or whatever it is. So it's in that moment when we start realizing that if we want our children to come to us with questions or when they're at their most low, that we need to plant the seeds for that habit way earlier.
So you're kind of opening a door.
Absolutely. It becomes sort of like we're proving to our child that, oh, my parent talks about, they use the words, so I can use the words too.
Yeah. So where does it begin?
I would say that it begins from when you bring your newborn home.
Okay.
Because for some of us, even changing a nappy will be an opportunity to learn for ourselves how to use, say, the correct word for body parts, for example. So I remember when my newborn came home and I was opening that nappy, I was sort of looking at the genitals going, okay, let's do this now. But if I, as a parent, don't know how to say the word vulva or penis, then I can practice those times when my child is not even aware of what's going on. And I can say, okay, I'm just wiping your vulva now and I'm going to change your nappy. And it might feel incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
But we are doing the hard work then, so that when our children get a little bit older, we have already started to confront some of the embarrassment and feeling a little bit more comfortable.
Why do you think we're so uncomfortable with those words?
Yeah.
Like, why do we need to invent childish kind of terminology for them or alternate terminology?
Well, I think partly it's to do with the message that we received growing up. Like, I don't know what your parents called genitals in your house, but my...
Well, we didn't call them anything because we didn't talk about them.
There you go. Right? My family, we called them alls. And the alls meant all the things between your legs. Didn't matter what sort of things they were alls. And so if we haven't been modelled that, yeah, that's a vulva and that's a penis, and then we don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, and then there's a spiral of even not talking about things or not touching things. And so the sort of the taboo and the shame grows around it. Mm-hmm. Someone I really love, Brené Brown, would say that shame can't exist when it's spoken about.
Okay.
So the way to break that cycle is to speak, but it takes an amazing act of courage for a parent to be able to look at however many decades of habit and say, no, this shame stops here with me and I am going to do something different so my child doesn't have to have that same experience as I had growing up.
And it can be as simple as using the correct terms.
Yeah, it's a great start. Absolutely. Because you're creating an environment where a conversation can be had. Like, yeah. If we can't name something, how can we talk about it any further?
Yeah. But people would say, well, why does it matter if I call it a willy or if I call it a penis?
Yeah. And I think there is a place for both those things.
Right.
Because our children will be learning about there's all different rules for all different scenarios in life. Mm. So, for example, you wear your bathing suit to the swimming pool, but you don't wear it to the Shelburne if you're going out for a very special family dinner.
Sure.
Right? So the same way you might say Willie at school because that's what your friends say.
Yeah.
But if you go to the doctor or you're talking to your mum or your dad, you would say, oh, something's wrong with my penis.
Yeah.
And it just gives us more language around something that we need to talk about.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So then what about touching? Because I know this is a time that a lot of parents can panic. I'm just thinking about when my children are older and they realize that I was talking about this stuff on the radio. My 18-month-old a few months ago discovered his penis in the bath and he was delighted. Oh my God, he was so happy. He laughed his head off and every bath time was an opportunity for him to go to town. And like, obviously I don't have a problem with that, but I know that sometimes these things can maybe leave the bathroom and maybe leave the house. And then I think people go, oh, I don't want to make my children feel ashamed, but I also don't want him taking out his penis in public. So what do you do around that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So we as a parent have the job of teaching our children what's right in a certain spot and wrong in another spot. Mm. So touching your genitals is absolutely an age-appropriate thing to discover. Like, most of us probably, if we have a good sense of our body being our own, we'll touch our genitals for maybe most of our life.
Yeah.
And so that's where it begins. And the bath is a great place to start. But just like table manners, that you don't use your hands when you are eating soup, you don't touch your genitals when you're in childcare or in walking down the street. So it's just an opportunity to say again, look, some things are really good at home in the bathroom, in your bedroom, and those things aren't okay when we're walking on the road. And I think the reason why parents are so worried about giving shame is because so many of us have lived with the burden of shame and we know how hard it is and how much it limits our ability to feel good in our body and create healthy, strong, loving relationships. Mm. So I completely understand why shame is something that all parents are going like, please, no, I don't want that for my kid.
So what about sex? You know, when we move away from the basics of your own body, when you're talking about sex, I mean, obviously it's a different conversation at different ages. When should that begin? Is that something that parents should bring up or should they wait to be asked?
Yeah, great question. So again, I would say, so which parent has ever waited for their child to ask for broccoli? I don't know a single parent that waited for their child to ask for broccoli. So it's the same sort of thing. A conversation about sex is so healthy and good and encouraging for our child. So we can be talking to children four and under about sperms and eggs and how bodies are designed to feel nice. And that's not necessarily about sex. We can say, you know, jumping on the trampoline, doesn't that feel nice? Mm. Hugs from us, doesn't that feel nice? So that is laying the foundation for a conversation then further on. So when our child is six, we can absolutely start talking about intercourse in the context of sperms and eggs coming together. And of course, there's lots of other ways for sperms and eggs to come together. Mm. So usually when parents hear me say that age of six, they're sort of put They look shocked. And why? Of course. Of course, again, because it's not what we were taught and experienced. But again, remember that this is about creating foundations for bigger conversations further on.
Yeah.
And I have parents coming to me like, well, how do I talk about porn with my teenager? And what about sexual abuse and rape? And I'm saying, yeah, those things are really important. And that is why we are creating a foundation of clear, accurate information about just the basics when our children are younger, so that we can layer on those more complicated and difficult conversations further on down the track.
And I presume, I mean, you can't, if you're dishonest with your children about the basics, and it may not feel like dishonesty, but you know, if you're kind of changing the rules a little bit to make the conversation a little bit more comfortable, then they might not trust you when it comes to those bigger things.
Well, I think what happens is their lived experience, what they actually realize the world is like, doesn't match up with what we're saying. And if they're going out maybe 12 or 13 and they kiss someone and they realize how amazingly yummy it feels, and we've told them, oh, it's dangerous, you've got to be careful, worry, 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 then they're like, oh, my parent is clueless. They don't know anything. Why would I go back and ask them any question about something I'm worried about? Because they obviously don't understand.
If you have a question for Sarah, Sarah Spruill is an occupational therapist and a sex educator, and we're talking about having these conversations with children. So if you have a question for Sarah, do text us. 51552 is the number. You can also email us, louise@rte.ie. The thing is as well, like, you have to be prepared as well for these conversations, don't you? Because my older son asked me the other day, he said, what's in these? And he was talking about his testicles, and I didn't know the answer. I was like, huh, I don't know. I'll have to go and find out, because I didn't know. Biology is not my strong suit. So you do kind of have to prepare yourself and educate yourself a little bit, don't you, so that you know you're giving the right answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if we feel confident that we have an answer for our child, we're more likely to be open to their question. And we can be doing that with something as simple as listening to a program like this, for example, or I have a podcast that comes out every week. It's 7 minutes. So 7 minutes every week, just listening to, oh yeah, I never thought about that way, or that's a new word I didn't know, or oh okay, that's a good way to explain that particular thing. So you can be doing that from when your child is born, so that you're slowly layering on the information for yourself too.
And it is okay to say I don't know, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just like my child, when they were four, asked me, why is the sky blue? And I was like, I don't know. Now, I did go and look it up,
yeah,
but there's no shame around me not knowing why the sky is blue.
Yeah.
And equally, there's no shame around us not knowing what's inside a testicle,
because
why would we know, particularly if we don't have a set?
I was like, I mean, I feel like I kind of know what adult men, I didn't. So I actually still haven't Googled that. That's my job for today. I asked my husband and he laughed at me, so I didn't get any information there. Okay, well, if you have a question, as I said, 51552 is the number to text, and we will be back with more with Sarah Spruill after this. I'm also going to play you an absolute classic, my friends, so stick around.
Louise McSherry on 2FM
with Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
That is Samantha Mumba, and Always Come Back to Your Love. And my friend Samantha Mumba has a new song out this week. Did you know that? Yes, I do. May have had a little sneaky listen to it. Looking forward to playing it for you next weekend. Anyway, I am now with Sarah Spruill, occupational therapist and sex educator. And in How to Be an Adult this week, we are talking about truly adult material. And it is being a parent and being open and having conversations with your children about sex and bodies. And Sarah has answered loads of questions, but I wanted, before we get to our listener questions, and we have a good few of them, 51552 is the number, I have a question for you, Sarah. One thing I wonder about, and my youngest sister is 15 years younger than me, so this is something that I've kind of worried about and wondered about over the years, as she was a teenager. I find having a conversation with a teenage girl about sex and consent and all of those things difficult, when I don't want to make them feel shameful or scared or like they're not in control of their own situation. But in reality, I am also scared about the situations that they may find themselves in. Is that something you hear a lot?
Yeah, I mean, not just for teenage girls. A lot of adults who care for kids will be thinking about all the things bad that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the principles in my work, I have a course, and in my one-to-one consulting with parents, part of it is about embracing the complexity and pain of being human. Mm. Because being human means we are dealing with getting hurt, people being just horrible around us. And so unless we can speak about that, there is no space for conversation about keeping people safe.
Yeah.
So it's in those moments when, could it be possible to talk about that life is difficult? And I think when an adult or an older person is able to start talking about unspeakable things like sexual abuse or consent, date rape or whatever it is, it opens up our young person to be able to say the same thing. Now, oftentimes we'll be worried that, oh, if I say that and she's never thought about it before, then am I planting ideas into her head? But the reality of it is, whenever we talk about difficult, painful things, it reduces the feelings of pain because we're in connection with someone else who is willing to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah.
And children and teenagers are not stupid. They know what the world is like.
Yeah.
And particularly, say, a 15-year-old girl, they have friendship groups and there is all manner of experiences that they share with each other.
Mm.
And so in that moment when we as older people feel anxious and concerned about bringing up something difficult, that is the moment, as soon as we feel that, that we lean into it and we turn toward the difficult thing.
Mm.
Because we're modeling to our child or our teenage sibling that, yeah, I talk about hard things. I have absolutely got your back. I can listen to anything you say.
Mm.
I am your rock. I am your safe place.
Mm. I love that. I just want to listen. Okay, let's get into some questions. The first one says, my daughter was born into an abusive relationship. I got away, fortunately. And while I am comfortable talking about the biology bit, I feel like a fraud talking about relationships. Like, I can hardly offer advice.
Mm. Oh, and thank you for asking that question, because it takes courage to be able to admit when we have made choices or life has thrown us something hard. It's actually connected to your question, Louise. It's about how do we acknowledge that life is complicated and sometimes we make decisions that mean we end up getting hurt. And I think for this person asking this question, how could it be possible to be super kind to yourself about what's happened in the past and really accept that there are some things that we can't change? And by using your experience to be able to model to your daughter that, wow, you know, I can deal with hard things again, like I said before. Mm. And the fact that sometimes we can own something that didn't go well in our life, our actual real life, gives our child the ability to see that we are not perfect and we struggle too. And in fact, that helps them feel closer to us because, oh yeah, my parent gets that sometimes things are hard and that's okay. And my parent's not going to judge me for getting into a situation that is also hard in my life.
Mm. Next question says, do you have a specific book that I can get to help teach my daughter? I was hoping to slip it in with Christmas presents so it doesn't seem like a big deal. Now, they don't say what age, because I presume there's different books for different ages.
Yeah, so many wonderful resources. I have collected just a small collection, because it's really overwhelming. If you go on to any bookshop, you might see like 50 different books. So if you go to sarahsproul.com/booklist, you will see just a few options for each different age group, and there are some options for parents as well, and find a few things. And one thing I would say is there's no perfect book. You know, so if you get a collection of books to add to the family bookshelf, because remember, we're in the business of creating an environment at home where, yes, we talk about these things. Yes, there are books about these things.
Then they don't need to be hidden away.
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay. And that's on sarahsproul.com.
Yep, /booklist.
Super. My daughter recently has a serious boyfriend. She is 17. I really don't know how to talk about sex with her. I don't want to give her permission, but I want to be safe with her, or I want her to be safe. Can you give me advice on how to approach this?
Yes. Now, when we say to our not giving someone permission, what happens when we think, I don't want to give my child permission, but I need information? Oftentimes that can stop us talking, because I think in our minds we think, if I talk about sex at all, that gives them ideas. Let's just call a spade. Teenagers have ideas, and whatever we say, they are all going to have already thought it 4 or 5 years before, believe me. And if they haven't thought it, then their friends will have thought it and exactly. talked to them about it. So let's just put that aside and then bring it up. Go, I am so excited for you. You're at the age now. Did you know in Ireland when you're 17, you're allowed to have sex and it's not wrong? Well, you know, well, we could talk all about wrong sex, but that's the legal age for consent in Ireland. So you can say like sex is really fun. And also there are things that we can do to keep ourselves safe in terms of making sure we don't get sick with infections, or we know how to ask for things that make us feel good. Because remember, if we are sending young people out into the world who don't know how to tell people what feels good on their body, then we are setting themselves up for relationships where they're going like, oh, they're touching me again. I really don't like this, but I don't know what to say about it. And
yeah.
I really wish we wouldn't kiss like that. I'd much rather be kissed on my neck than my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an ongoing conversation, not a make sure you use a condom. It's far more about all the different ways that we use our body and how it feels nice and all the different ways we can speak up for ourselves.
It's so hard though. I really feel for that person because clearly they really don't want their daughter to be having sex.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's about kind of we have to accept that sex will happen. And if we don't accept that, then they're just going to figure it out elsewhere or get ideas from somewhere else or, God forbid, learn from porn, you know. So even though it's uncomfortable to confront it, we kind of have to, don't we?
I think it's a we ask ourselves a question. Do we want to be someone a young person can come to when things are tough? And if we do, then we do the hard work. And I'm saying it's hard work. And I'm also saying that you don't have to do this on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely not. How can we deprogram 30 years of thinking sex is bad to then start a conversation the following day? So you need to get support. Like, I'm out there, I have my podcast, I'm continually, I do consulting. If we really want to do these conversations, reaching out is one of the kindest and most lovely things you can do for yourself, but also your kid.
I'm going to do a horrible thing now. We only have time for one more question and I'm going to ask you if you can try and answer it quickly. Sure. But I feel for this person.
Absolutely.
And I want them to get an answer. The question is, my 7-year-old daughter rubs her vagina on the couch. I presume she means vulva. And told me she does it in school on the toilet. Also, she says it calms her down. I told her it's okay at home, but not in school. What's the best way to deal with this? I think this is a common thing, isn't it?
It really, really common. Yeah, so it's the same thing again about creating rules around something. Touching our genitals is really normal and it makes us feel good and that's fine. We do it in private though, so do it in the bathroom. I don't think necessarily that the couch is the best place to do it. So you can say to her, you know what? Home is a safe place for you. Your bedroom is the safest place, or the bathroom is the safest place. And if you need to do it at school, then you are doing the right thing by doing it in the toilet cubicle, because you don't want anyone else to see that.
Mm. But maybe, I feel like the toilet is not, a public toilet, maybe not.
No, it's not. But
look, not ideal.
It's the thing about, like, there's obviously something she needs to calm herself down with at school. It's a sensory thing.
Yeah.
Like, my occupational therapist brain is coming in now. So it's about, well, if you have to do it at school, privacy. Ideally, it would be better to wait till you're home.
Yeah.
But again, children, they will do what they're going to do. So we need to be careful.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's at the root of all of this. Thank you so much. I could talk to you all day. Sarah Sprell, occupational therapist and sex educator. I so appreciate you making the time to be here and share your expertise with us. Shauna says, I worked in child protection in Australia, where they have a program called Protective Behaviours, which basically helps parents lay simple foundations like you're speaking about in order to protect children from predators. Children who are in the knowledge about what their genitals are called are less likely to be targeted. Well done on opening a conversation on this, as I found since returning to Ireland there's such a fear about teaching our children about these subjects. Thank you, Shauna. Yeah, I think it's tricky stuff. It's hard, but we've got to be adults about it, which is what this slot is all about.
Louise McSherry on 2FM
with Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.